Blog Talk Radio.
If you find yourself in trouble, count on me, my friend. I'll get right up in trouble's face. You won't see him again. I've got the backbone, American. I've got the heart, American. I've got the will, American. Will you stand up, don't sit down? Stand up, don't back down. Stand up, shout it out. Stand up, let's make it loud. American, American.
Welcome to another exciting show with Southern Sense on Blog Talk Radio. So turn up the volume and enter our chat room, or grab your phones, call in, and join the conversation. Help us to restore the republic to this country and inspire the majority to be silent no longer.
Well, look me straight in the eye. Tell me what you see. I'll tell the truth every time. Yes, you can count on me. I've got the backbone, American. I've got the heart, American. I've got the will, American. Will you stand up, don't sit down? Stand up, don't back down. Stand up, shout it out. Stand up, let's make it loud. American, 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 American.
Well, good afternoon to another messed up afternoon on Blog Talk Radio. I'm your host, Ann Ubellis, and I have Cool Mike with me. How you doing, Mike?
I don't think Blog Talk Radio likes me solo. You know, Tesla, who's in our chat room, warned me one time. He said, don't get them all upset. I don't know. I just got kicked off out of nowhere, just couldn't log back in. But anyway, as I was saying as we started the show, everybody, Annie has a special announcement on a special interview. I didn't break the news, Annie. I just kept saying, wait and see. Girl, the com is yours, girl.
Well, no, it's not really so much of a special announcement. Well, I had mentioned that I was going to be at this rally for Newt Gingrich because they borrowed the stage from me. It seems like no one else in the county has a portable stage. And I had to run out to Bluffton and use it for the rally. So we just got back home exactly 15 minutes ago. And Cool Mike was supposed to be hosting the show for me, you know, in my stead. But I guess Blog Talk didn't like the idea. Oh, man, Mike.
That's a racial issue.
That is so messed up. I want to welcome everyone that is in the chat room. Welcome back to listening to the show. And I do apologize for the mess up, but, you know, blame it on BTR. We had no control over it. So I was at the rally with Newt Gingrich, and I had a lot of fun. Had to get out there like 10 o'clock in the morning, of course. You know, sleep a little bit later than you're supposed to. We get there like about 10:45. But we got everything all set up. And I had an interview with Newt Gingrich one-on-one, just him and I together. And I'm trying to upload that, having a little difficulty with it. So hopefully we'll have it uploaded before the end of the show and we'll play that. But I thought it was really fascinating. I had a lot of fun, I liked what he was saying. Honestly.
At what point, like, at what point when you sat down and you're starting this interview were you like, this is Newt?
Well, I was really nervous, honestly. You know, me, tough guy. But as I go through the questions, I only had like about 10 minutes with him total. But as I ask the questions, I'm getting a little bit more relaxed. But I was really, really nervous. So you'll probably hear it in my voice, how nervous I was. But it was fun. I mean, he thinks so fast on his feet. It's absolutely amazing. And you wait for like a typical politician answer in some areas, and he doesn't always give that to you. He'll answer sometimes with just a one-word phrase. He doesn't have to go into a huge explanation or anything. And that is what I think I like best. You know, you don't have to do this whole elaborate song and dance routine. And I actually like the guy.
Well, my thinking with Newt is it's kind of tenfold because, in a way, Newt represents an era gone. Sometimes good, sometimes not so good. But if you think about it, Newt's contract with America, today's modern-day Republicans have thrown all of that right out the window for their own socialist policies, where Newt was talking a mandatory balance to budget, basically a huge cut in federal government, period. Whereas, realistically, the modern-day Republicans have pretty much thrown Newt's philosophy, his basic yesterday political ideas right out the window. So in many, many ways, although Newt is kind of tied in, he is in the same boat you and I and many others on Blog Talk are, in the sense that, you know, he's fighting the establishment Republican Party.
And that is very, very true. And matter of fact, some people say that he's been flip-flopping on some of the issues, but when you sit down and you really talk to him, like I said, one-on-one, and you ask him face-to-face directly, you know, it's like, you know, what is your stance on this? People are saying X, Y, Z about you. Is this true, yes or no? Someone had sent me a message on Facebook asking me to ask him a specific question about guns and his stance on them. And he's solidly a Second Amendment person. And what he had said to a crowd of us before he went out to his town hall rally, because we had like a little private meeting, the Tea Party leaders and other political leaders, you know, just a little VIP type of thing. And someone asked him about the Second Amendment. And he said, you know, there is a misnomer that you think that the Second Amendment is your right. He goes, and then everyone stopped. They said, what? He goes, no. You had that God-given right before the Constitution was written. It only reinforces it and protects it. And everyone went, oh, never thought about it that way. Have you?
Well, yes, in the sense that, I mean, we are children of God. But no, not in the sense that basically the Founding Fathers are reinforcing. How do I word this? The Constitution itself clearly states we are endowed by our Creator with certain inalienable rights.
Right.
One of those would be the right of defense, of just all those things, even in biblical terms, the right of self-defense or what have you. But saying that to public, I've never heard that said in public, and one of the reasons I don't think people say that is because whenever you... And I like this. I like the fact that Newt would say this because you don't want to bring up God and anything to do with Christ or Christianity, it's taboo. You know, blah, blah, blah. Same thing, I guess, I wasn't around them, but they said Kennedy, when he was running, they said, well, the Pope's going to be in the white, running the White House and blah, blah, blah. But you know what? Newt's not afraid to take on all comers. And in many of the debates, he's actually challenged the media and the questions, where they ask him a question about, you know, his marital status or whatever it is. He's like, look, I'm not going to sit there and argue and, you know, you want to talk about people who've quit my campaign. He said Ronald Reagan lost his entire staff 1 month before the New Hampshire primary. You know, Newt's not afraid. And another thing, too, is you're not going to out-talk or out-philosophy Newt. Newt is a student of the game. He's a student of politics. He is probably the smartest politician alive today as far as from a debate standpoint. You're going to have to really, really, really catch him on a bad, bad day to be able to outfox that guy.
This is very, very true. Very true. but I think when the question was asked, and his first answer immediately was, people think it's a right. And then the whole room froze, and he really played. He really played to the room. He goes, no, it is the right that was given to you by God, and government should not be taking it away. I'm trying to upload this thing at the same time I'm talking to you, Mike.
You know, the thing is, a couple things. Tesler says, I'm kissing Newt's ass. I ain't kissing Newt's ass. He's always been a very good public speaker, and Newt has always stood for conservative politics, which is out the door. And that's something neither of the Bushes supported. They weren't balanced budget people. As a matter of fact, you could probably argue that Bill Clinton was more conservative than either of the Bushes. But anyway, the bottom line is that Newt's written many books. I mean, he's just very well schooled, just in government and in history. And a lot of times he's on those shows where he's written a book. And I mean, when he's addressing,
like 24 or 26 books out there.
I guess it's kind of like what you were just saying. You were just in a room with him, and just, I mean, I don't think he's the type of person like the arrogant a-hole Bush is. I don't think he talks down to people.
No.
And I think he's realistic. He constantly says, look, and then he explains something in layperson terms, not using all these fancy words that the guy from Texas loves to use these words. He doesn't even know what he's talking about. Can't remember his name, but I mean,
Perry?
Rick Perry. He uses ABC in simple words that, you know, your average person could understand.
No, I've been in a lot of rooms with different politicians and celebrities and stuff, and they're there are certain ones that definitely look down their nose at you. It's like, all right, I've got to do this. I've got to press the flesh, and you know, put this phony smile on your face, and they rush in the room. They go all around real quick and then rush out. When he was standing there with us, it was just like the guy sitting next to you at the bar type of thing. He's just one-on-one, you know, joking around, really at complete ease. And he's talking to you as if you're the guy next door. And that is what really impresses people. And then when you get up there and talk about any government policy, whether it's foreign or domestic, he's extremely knowledgeable. He's quick with the facts. And he gives, like you said, a very simple answer. You know,
when you guys were all in that room, I would tend to think that's an elite room. I would probably be nowhere near that room, probably not even allowed 100 yards near it.
It was a local barbecue place.
That's cool.
I swear.
You know, that's really
my
cool.
My bedroom is about the size of the restaurant.
Well, you know, that's grassroots politics. That's, you know, you see, hang on. These politicians, they go to these arenas and forums and stadiums that hold thousands and thousands and thousands. You know, there is something to be said about that. That's a great thing, that you can draw that many and you can get people pumped up and excited. A lot of times these are like pep rallies where the person is, you know, trying to get everyone excited about their campaign. But there is something to be said about the opposite, where you pack, you know, 50 people in a room that can only sit two, and you have a politician sitting with someone almost on someone's lap, you know, reaching out and saying hi and talking to people about real problems.
Exactly. You know, now, this is the difference between Newt Gingrich and Michelle Bachmann. When she did her town hall, and that was one of the – when I got to ask her about two or three questions, and that was it, and they rushed in. She rushes in. She's late. She races around the room and shakes hands all over the place. She literally went running through the room shaking hands. Gets up on the stage, does her little speech, takes a few questions, and then she rushes right back out. Here, Newt gets to, he goes over. The rally is at 1 o'clock. He started at 8 o'clock in the morning. He had two big fundraisers. Then he came to our little thing, which started around 10, 10:15. And he's just like moseying around, hands in the pocket type of thing, like a doy da doy da doy doy, you know, nice. And he's having fun. And you can look at his face and see that he's enjoying talking to people. Whether you're an adult or a kid, he treats you on an equal basis. One kid, he must have been about 16, he got up and he asked a question. And Newt spoke to him like a complete full adult. He doesn't care if you're like 13, 8, 16 or whatever. He's going to give you an adult answer. And that is what also impressed me. I don't agree with 100% of his policies. And I will have to admit, I did hit him with the question about him sitting on the couch with Nancy Pelosi.
Oh, I can't wait to hear that one.
When I asked the question, he actually blushed. he laughed and blushed. It's like, okay.
But how about your interview with him? When, you know, he was, did he look you in the eye? Like, how was his, you know, from a journalist standpoint, kind of, you sitting in one chair, him in the other, how was all that?
It was great. I was sitting as close to him as I am to my computer right now. That's how close. We were side by side. And he did. He looked me straight in the eye, and he gave me the good, even answers. Yeah. Honestly, I think it was a lot more casual than if you saw it, if it was a professional interview. And he sat down for almost a full 10 minutes with me. We had a couple – at the beginning of the tape, you're going to hear some personal stuff. I'm just introducing myself to him. And then he turns around and asks me, you know, Eubelis, what type of name is that? You know, what is your background type of thing? And that stopped me because I'm starting to think about the questions I'm going to ask him. But he took the time to ask me a personal question. And how many people would do that? You go in to do an interview, and you go straight into the interview. You're talking about them or their book or whatever. No one ever asks a question about you, which I thought was really impressive.
Good. I've always liked his, you know, just the way he talks. He's always been a very good public speaker, very intelligent. I think he's tied in. And when I say tied in, I think he's basically one of the rich elitists. But the bottom line is he's running for candidate. He's one of the candidates. And it is nice that one of them can actually take time out to sit with you, considering most of them snub Blog Talk Radio. And in a lot of ways, Blog Talk Radio is that little cafe diner on the street corner of old rural America. That's kind of a vanishing breed. But, you know, that's wonderful. That is great that he even took time out for an interview. I think in a lot of ways, Newt had hoped for a presidential bid right around the time that Bill Clinton and the Monica thing started to crumble. But obviously he could not. He had his own individual problems, which led him to just take different avenues. Plus, as you said, he's written mega books. I didn't know he wrote that many books, but...
Yeah.
Periodically, you always see him on these TV shows. And I think in a lot of ways, Newt Gingrich fiddles the tune that the people want to dance to. The question is whether or not it's legit, to which we will find out as soon as Annie can upload this
well,
tape.
It's uploading now, but, you know, it takes Blog Talk a little bit for it to get into the queue. So hopefully we'll have it in the queue before. Like I said, it's only about 10 minutes. It'll be fun to play. But did you catch that Herman Cain is starting to rethink his campaign?
I let off the show with that before I was shown the door by Blog Talk. Yeah. There's the old saying, you tell a lie enough times, people start believing it. And all these people are coming forward saying this and saying that. I'd still like someone just to come up with concrete proof. Actual.
Well, supposedly there's text messages between the two of them.
There were text messages. We would have saw them months ago.
Well, supposedly she's coming forward. She said it. She said, I've got text messages. He admits knowing her and having some sort of relationship with her. Now, as I understand it, this 13-year period was the same time he was battling cancer. Now, I don't know how much of a sexual relationship you can have while you're battling cancer.
Well, I mean, wait a minute. If you have a relationship with anyone, you and I text message each other before the show. I mean, the bottom line is you can always have text messages of whatever. That doesn't necessarily mean he was groping her in public or, you know, acting improper in the workplace. I mean, I think an awful lot of what happened during the Anita Hill bullcrap, I think what that did is it still comes to play in now, to whereas whenever a female makes an accusation, somehow it's among that person who's been the accused to prove his innocence, when it's vice versa. If someone says, anybody can make any accusations whatsoever. Our bottom line is that until someone can come up with concrete proof, even a text message, how are you going to prove it really came from Herm Cain?
I mean, yeah, it's funny because in the rally itself, someone came forward and asked him if there was something in his past. They said, you know, Speaker Gingrich, is there anything in your past that may suddenly just come out in the open? And Gingrich just kind of looked at him and goes, I have no idea. And the crowd's looking at him like, what? He goes, yeah, I have no idea what they're going to spin. He goes, they're going to bring up a lie and tell a lie about you anyway. You just got to, you have no idea what angle they're going to be coming from, so I won't know until they do it. What an honest answer. I have no idea. I have no idea what they're going to come out with. You know, of course, you know, they're going to talk about his previous marriages, about his ethics violation that he got fined $300,000 for. But that's history. That's everyone already knows this stuff. And I asked him, you know, why is it that he has to reveal everything in his life, but President Obama had signed an executive order and sealed off his records that nothing can come forward? And he goes, I have no idea. He goes, that executive order is so wrong. It's completely wrong. He should be able to have everything exposed about Obama's past as everyone else has. It shouldn't be two different, what do you call it?
A double standard.
Thank you. Yeah. It shouldn't be a double standard. Oh, but I got to tell you, though, funny story. Yanni tried to kill him.
What?
Yes. Well, I told you, we lent them the stage, and he was supposed to put jacks up underneath the back end, because it's actually a 5x8 trailer. And he didn't put the jacks under the end. So when the person that introduced him was stepping down off the stage and he was stepping up, the weight was all on the back end, and it started to tilt.
Oh, boy.
So, of course, a bunch of us jumped on the other end, pushed it back down until he got back on the center stage. And, you know, he stood in that one spot, and he barely moved.
That's a true redneck story right there.
And before he got off the stage, Yanni and this other guy were sitting down on the front end of the hitch, and so that when he stepped off the back of the stage, it wouldn't tilt again. So now, you want to know how redneck this whole thing was. Of course, the press, as soon as he steps off the stage, they all swarm around him. And a whole bunch of them start jumping up on the stage. Of course, on the wrong end, the end that's going to tilt, right? So now everyone else is pushing down on the other end. And, of course, me, the cop, I'm turning around going, get off the stage. Get up. And I scream, well, the press, get off the stage. They cleared out. And now all of Gingrich's aides are looking at me and they're laughing. And one guy comes up and goes, I've never seen anyone move the press so fast.
Oh, that voice of yours, Annie, that comes stems from the New York. I still think about the debate in Tampa, hearing you sing. And I was just like, is that Annie? I was like, man, that voice can carry.
I hadn't even realized that. You know, I haven't even seen that scene. I have not seen that scene. And, yes, I do sing.
Well, you know, here's another positive about just today, is that you were mentioning, okay, this guy is not in the middle of a football stadium. He's not in some big arena. Obviously, they borrowed the stage from you, and it's just a simple hometown, simple thing. What's wrong with that? Is there anything wrong with that? Hell no.
No. No, and matter of fact, telling you, you know, how redneck we were, Don Fortney, who did the opening song and the closing song from our show, and he's been a guest on here before, he was supposed to be doing playing music before, you know, to entertain the crowd before Newt came up to speak. Well, the guy who owns the promenade that we are on decided today to put the Christmas tree up. So his grounds crew was working right smack in front of where we're supposed to be setting up. And, of course, they hook into the same electrical power source. So here's Don setting up his equipment, and they're all using the same power source. So they blew his board. So now poor Don, he's got all of his equipment there, and his equipment was what Newt was going to use to speak. So now his board got fried.
Oh, my God.
Turns out it was because of what they were doing. It overheated the board. It didn't completely burn it out. So he just had to wait for the board to cool down. So they were able to finally get the mic hooked up. But poor Don, he was going to be sitting there for like a full hour playing all this music and trying to hawk his CDs, and he couldn't do it. Oh, God. I'm telling you, this is one of those events that, you know, anything that could have gone wrong was going wrong. Well, I want to welcome everyone into the chat room. We've got B Long, we got Clay, we got Dirty White Trash. I love that one. Hi, Mary. Hi, Mom. And it got Tesla, and we got TM. Our call-in line is open. It seems BTR is back up and working. And it's 917-889-3675. Mike, it looks like this has uploaded. So if everyone doesn't mind, there's a lot of background noise. You've got to remember, this was inside a barbecue restaurant.
And hear the lady say, like, you ask him a question, Annie, like, what do you think about this? And before he talks, you hear, order in two cheeseburgers. All righty. I'm excited.
Well, there is a lot of background noise because people are there. They're getting up and they're eating and they're walking around and laughing and cracking up while we're doing the interview. And like I said, there was a little personal back and forth introducing myself to him and everything else. So let me play this. So I hope you enjoy it. I only listened like to the first 2 minutes just to make sure it came through. So just bear with the background noise. Here we go.
My name is Annie Bellis. I'm with the Beaufort Tea Party. But I also have a radio show called Southern Sense on Blog Talk Radio.
Cool. What kind of background is you, Bellis?
My husband's from Latvia.
Okay.
Yeah. It is a pleasure to meet you, Mr. Speaker.
Good to see you.
And my first election that I voted for president, I voted for Ronald Reagan.
Good.
And I was 18. All right. Mainstream media and Fox News seem to want to drive the public opinion in favor of liberal issues and candidates. With that in mind, as polls show your media rising and with a glowing praise just the other day from former President Clinton, what can you offer the conservatives to convince them that you are not the rhino or moderate conservative they paint you to be?
Well, if you remember, among the things I did with Clinton were reform welfare, so 2 out of 3 people went back to work or went to school and got off welfare. We balanced the budget for 4 straight years and paid off $405 billion in federal debt. We did the first tax cut in 16 years and the largest capital gains tax cut in American history. And it strikes me those are relatively conservative achievements.
I would agree. I would definitely agree. Now, yesterday on Fox News, first Doug Schoenberg, who is President Clinton's pollster, then Bob Beckel, the Democratic strategist Fox contributor, both stated that they prefer you, your nomination, over Mitt Romney. They felt you were more defeatable. Knowing their down and dirty campaign tactics of President Obama's team, led by David Axelrod and David Cook, how would you counter their arguments and tactics?
Well, that's why I'm challenging the president to 7 3-hour debates from the Lincoln Douglas tradition with a timekeeper but no moderator. Because I believe the president's going to have $1 billion to smear people. And the only way he can offset that is to get his face on television, make him accountable, and have the American people look both of you in the eye and decide which one's telling the truth. And I think under that test, he'll fail badly.
Well, I find it very amazing that you would have to expose your background, but Obama has signed an executive order keeping his background under wraps and sealed.
It is kind of bizarre. I don't understand why nobody's dug into his relationship to Saul Alinsky and the whole idea of the radicalism in Chicago and the background that he had with William Ayers. But I think, frankly, his performance has been so bad. My major theme will be that we have the best food stamp president in American history. I'd like to be the best paycheck president, and I think on that thematic we can beat him decisively.
Now, you were fundamental in bringing us the Contract for America in the 90s. Paul Ryan brought us the Contract of America. Today, what are you offering us to repeal Obamacare, balance the budget, reduce our debt, term limits, abolish SARS, and so forth?
Well, we have, if you go to newt.org, myfirstname.org, you'll see a 21st century Contract with America, which outlines exactly the kind of things you're talking about. Repeal Obamacare, repeal the Dodd-Frank bill, repeal Sarbanes-Oxley, get back to economic growth, eliminate the capital gains, eliminate the death tax, go to zero capital gains tax, replace the Environmental Protection Agency with a brand new Environmental Solutions Agency that has to use common sense and be economically rational. And there are a number of steps like that that we would take.
Okay. Now, a great number of conservatives cringed when they saw you sitting on the couch side by side with Nancy Pelosi doing a global warming commercial. Was that a mistake? And what are the policies have you had that you felt were a mistake?
Well, that was the dumbest single thing I've done in the last 4 or 5 years. It is absolutely impossible to defend, and I've given up. See, you know, what I was trying to make the case was I'd written a book with Terry Maple called Contract with the Earth, where we outlined a conservative environmentalism that used incentives and technology and entrepreneurs and positive approaches to save the environment better than EPA does, and at much less cost. And so I was trying to start a conversation. She was clearly so radioactive it made no sense to do it. In retrospect, I wouldn't do it. I would point out that I opposed cap and trade, and the same day that Al Gore testified in favor of it, I testified against it, and I helped in the Senate defeat it. And I do not think we should turn that kind of power over to a government bureaucracy.
Okay. Now, will Obamacare be the deciding issue in this race, or is there another issue that will be the deciding issue?
Well, Obamacare will be a big issue because over half the country wants to repeal it. But I think that his radicalism will be a big issue, and I think that his failure in the economy will be a big issue, and I think it's a combination of those three.
Okay. Now, you signed a survey from the Gun Owners of America, yet you are on a record as supporting a ban on assault weapons and magazines that hold more than 10 rounds. Now, how do you answer that, not only to the GOA, but to the NRA members and the Second Amendment rights?
I have to go back and look and see exactly what you're referring to. We had a debate in the mid-90s, which I assume is what that refers back to. Let me be clear. Because it depends what you mean by assault weapons. I mean, this is something I work very closely with the NRA on. I don't believe selling automatic weapons makes any sense in free society. But if you remember, the Clinton administration was broadening the term assault weapon to include all sorts of guns that were not assault weapons. And we actually passed legislation pushing them back when I was speaker. And I think my general record with the NRA and others is very, very high. And I think I've always been basically given an A rating by them.
All right. Now, something you said just in the last debate, you made a controversial statement on immigration, which some consider amnesty. Is that your plan, or is it something else?
Well, first of all, I never talked about amnesty. And some of my friends say that I came out for amnesty from 11 million people. That's just plain factually false. What I did say was, first of all, you can't pass a comprehensive bill. So that you need to break the bill up into pieces. The first piece is to control the border by January 1, 2014, which is in the proposed 21st century Contract with America at newt.org. The second is to have English as the official language of government. The third is to have American history requirements for citizenship. The fourth is to have an improved, better legal visa program for visitors. The fifth is to have a better, faster deportation process for people that shouldn't be here. Then I think you need a guest worker program run by American Express, Visa, or MasterCard, so you know it would actually work technically. And in that context, with much higher sanctions, economic sanctions against employers who hire people illegally, and in that context, I said, you're going to eventually come down to most people leaving and going home. There are some people who have been here 25 years, have been paying taxes, have a family, have kids, grandkids, along your local church. I propose a citizen review board, like the World War II Social Service process, where citizens would decide whether or not you could be certified not to become a citizen, not to have the right to vote, but to have the legal right to stay in the United States, because your ties are so deeply committed and you've been a good citizen for a very long time. I think that's a reasonable step to end the process and get us to be an entirely legal country. And that would start with absolute control of the border by January 1 of 2014.
Okay, last question, and thank you for being so gracious. Fair tax or flat tax?
I'm for immediate flat tax, and I'm setting up a commission on the fair tax with 435 local commissions in every congressional district. And I believe you need to spend at least a year explaining the fair tax, having computer models, allowing people to take their personal budget, to run through it, make sure they understand it. Then, after that process, you would know whether or not you had the potential to actually pass the bill.
Thank you very much, Mr. Speaker. It has been a pleasure.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay. What do you think?
Wow. That's all I can say is wow. You know, this is Newt, and you know he's not afraid to still be the old traditional Republican, the fat cat at the country club, but here he is realistically in the settings in which we all like. I actually loved some of the background noise. The conversation, I don't know if you heard the one lady say like something like, "Oh, I had that the last time," or something like that. It was pretty cool. But I really enjoyed it. I like some of the questions you asked, and you know, in the follow-ups. Not to mention, Annie, when you asked him the question about the couch, you know what? He said it was a blunder. He looked at it and said, "I'm an idiot. I'm done defending it." Blah blah blah. If you are to ask other people these questions, we've all seen these interviews. They don't even answer. They go into some political spiel for a paragraph, basically, and say, "Next question." You'd be like, okay, so unless you answer the first. He admitted an outright mistake. He said, you know, that there's something to be said about somebody who will say that. Because if we look back upon, say, the last 20 years, how many politicians, how many human beings do we know who have outright just stood up and said, "I take responsibility for that"? Something to be said about that.
That's true. It is true. I liked it also where I hit him on the issue on the guns, and he goes, "I'm not exactly sure what you're talking about. I'm going to have to look at it, but this is what my current stance is now." And excuse me, it was freezing out there, so I hope I didn't catch a cold. Oh, I hate cold. Oh man. But I don't think I gave him softball questions.
Well,
I hope you don't.
I mean, yes and no. I mean, you're not going to be you. People like us are not so intelligent to the point where we can ask them in depth and detail about a CIA operative type stuff. So we have to ask them the questions that, you know what, affect you and me, because we're middle class people struggling to balance our checkbook. So you ask them the good questions. I liked them. I pretty much. Of all the questions, they were questions I would be asking or I would want to know. We're not so in depth into the government secret ops and everything that we can ask them about covert stuff. The bottom line is, you know, you ask them the questions that you and I want to know, that most people like us the BTR conservatives want to, the true BTR Tea Party conservatives want to know. And also, he didn't dodge anything. I disagree with him strongly on an awful lot of things, especially as far as the assault weapons or whatever. Guns don't kill people. People kill people.
Well,
but the bottom line is he takes a stand. He gives you his reason why. And, you know, if you disagree with it, he's fine with it, too. So it's great.
Exactly, exactly. And, you know, I disagree on the assault weapons also. As a matter of fact, someone at the town hall asked a very similar question to what I had asked. And he said, you know, you're not going to agree with everything I say, and everything you say I'm not going to always agree with. But that's what this is all about. He says, these town halls doing stuff like this, I get to hear from you and you get to hear from me. And, hey, we have a dialogue going. And we get things done this way.
Well, and, you know, the interview itself was very good. You had mentioned, I think off the air prior to the show, second part two of this show for today, you had said you were nervous and you thought we could hear it in your voice. I didn't. I thought it was good. And I mean, right off the bat, you know, and I like the fact, you know, he asked you, you Bellis, what nationality or heritage, why don't we ask those questions anymore? Why is it wrong to ask somebody, you know, what ethnicity either they are or why is that taboo? I mean, don't we want to know where some, you know, where someone's ancestors or whoever is from? I mean,
well, what's happened today is people are identifying in these little niches, and this way they break apart. No, we are not looking at ourselves all as Americans first. They look at themselves as if they're Native American or they're Black American or they're Italian American. And this way they break you apart. Instead, you should be saying that you are American first, but this is my background and my heritage. We should be proud of our heritage, yes. But remember, you got to be American first.
Period. That's very well put. And I didn't – when you walk us through, like, okay – say, a few minutes before you actually got called in and you're going to do the interview and stuff, how did all that take place? Like, did somebody come and get you? Were you, like, in line with other media people? How did that process before you actually got to sit next to him and do that?
Well, honestly, there was about 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. 7 of us around this little table. Newt Gingrich is digging into this huge plate of barbecue and coleslaw, drinking a Diet Coke, and we're all just talking, chatting. And his aide turns around and goes, all right, we're going to clear out the seat because there's a woman sitting between me and him. And he just asked her, so can you just switch seats so she can do this interview? And we're all sitting there. So all my friends that I was talking to, that we were all talking to, were just sitting there while he was eating his lunch. And we're all talking.
That's
I'm
sweet.
Telling
now
you, everyday guy.
Now you got me wanting barbecue and some slaw. That's awesome. That's really great. You know, you're sitting there, and that's how it is. You know, I wonder if I was going to say, I wonder if Michelle Bachman would do that. But, of course, you've seen your last interview with Michelle Bachman. But, you know, compare the differences. Compare the differences to when you called her out on something or questioned her. It's almost like, how dare anybody, like, challenge me on the issues? And think, you know what? These people are running for an office where they're employed by us. We are the supervisors. We are the managers. We are the team leaders. We're the stockholders. And before we hire a CEO for our company and our country, we have every right to ask any question we want. And if you don't like it, you know what? That's tough shit. And, you know, Michelle Bachman, I think, is in some ways a wannabe. She wants to be tied in with Newt and the elitists of the old GOP. And in many ways, I think it's the old GOP really pushing Newt to get rid of the modern-day GOPs who have totally dropped the ball. Because obviously – but the bottom line is he talked about some things as far as getting America back, this and that. And he was outright. You said fair tax or flat tax. He supports the flat tax. And
You had to listen to the whole thing. He said the flat tax first, and then what he said is you get in every single congressional district, you send out teams to educate the public about the fair tax. And he said you build a computer program where people can turn around, sit down, input their income as if they're doing an income tax, and compare what would occur under the fair tax to what is occurring now. And then you give them the choice. Would they prefer to stay with the current income tax, or would they like to go to the fair tax? And he says that way you can get people to go from the current income tax system down to a flat tax, and then from the flat tax into the fair tax. So in essence, he really is for the fair tax, but he knows that you have to go through a transition first before you can initiate the fair tax.
Well, that's very, very true. But anyway, yeah, I liked the interview. I was excited all day long about it. I was telling everyone at work, Andy's going to interview Newt, Andy's going to interview Newt. And, like, somebody said something. They go, like, Mike's running around saying Andy's. I just keep it quiet. It's on the down low. I said, not supposed to tell people till the show. These people are looking at me like, who in the hell is Annie? And who in the hell is the I mean, just like, they just, it's so funny. But I enjoyed it. And, you know, Annie, you're questioning yourself, you know, wondering, you know, about asking questions. So, people like us, our questions are limited to our livelihoods because we're middle-class people. We're fighting to continue what is becoming a vanishing breed. And whether it's like the old-fashioned gas stations where there was always a mechanic in the house when you pulled in who pumped your gas or anything along those lines, we in the middle class are greatly in danger of becoming extinct in this country. And we're entering an era where if we want to maintain our livelihoods, we may have to depend more and more on branches of government. And that's not what this country is founded on. And in many ways, we need a politician who will sit at the table while having lunch, who isn't afraid to, you know, address a question from a kid and think, what a stupid kid. No, we need someone who addresses and says, you know what, this 16-year-old will be 26. He will be 36. He will be 46. He will be a father, a husband, a taxpayer. And that's the way we need these we need politicians who understand that.
Well, I wouldn't say that we only concern ourselves about issues directly involving ourselves. A lot of questions had to do with Iran, North Korea. One kid, the 16-year-old that came up, was asking about the space program. There was a lot more. At one point, he was explaining the EMPs. Those electromagnetic pulse bombs. And what I didn't know, and I'm going to see if I can find this book, and I'm sure, Mike, you're going to want to get your librarian to order this for you. It's called 1 Second After. And it's a book that Gingrich co-wrote with another professor. Last name, I believe, is Foster. I may have that wrong, but I believe it's Foster. 1 Second After with Gingrich and Foster. It's about a town in North Carolina and what happens 1 second after one of these EMPs go off.
Wow.
I
have read about them and I've heard the what could be done. And actually, the old show with Jack Bauer, 24, had an episode where somebody set off one of those. And in many, many ways, that show itself was as close to real life in the real world as you could get, where
mm-hmm.
it was cutting-edge, state-of-the-art. And, you know, that is a serious terror threat. And not just, I mean, we worry about maybe some iman doing that. We need to worry about that happening within our own country, coming from our own people, who God knows what is happening as far as an awful lot of horrible things regarding the erosion of our Constitution and our constitutional rights. One thing about Newt, although I don't think he is a constitutionalist, he certainly knows the Constitution very well. I mean, you can't question that whatsoever. He is a scholar when it comes to history, when it comes to the Constitution. And like I said, like I had said earlier, he had written books on that. He certainly seems to know his stuff. Next question to you. Who was all gathered around the table? You mentioned your friends, but specifically mention their names and who was there.
I had Judge Murray Silver. He was a federally appointed judge under Jimmy Carter, believe it or not. He also worked under Carter, and he worked in the campaign for Andrew Young when he was running for mayor of Atlanta. he wrote the book Daddy King and Daddy King and Me. He was actually my very first guest ever on the show.
Yeah,
and
he's called in several times.
Yeah, show number two. He and his lovely wife were there. and it's funny because Murray has such a conservative blog, you would never know that at one time he had been a Democrat. he's got the blog called The Legal Eagle. And it was he and his wife. There were my other Tea Partiers from Bluffton. Mary Lou and Jane run the Tea Party at Bluffton. The woman sitting directly next to me, I've seen her at a lot of the Tea Party functions. I could not remember her name. Andy Patrick, who is our state representative here in South Carolina, he was also an interview I did just before he got elected. He replaced a Democrat. I'm trying to remember, because people were popping in and out. But that was the core group.
That's really the core group.
That's just
people like us. I mean, that is really, really cool. I see he's sitting there eating and talking. I mean, that's the way it should be. You know, I mean, just one of us, just one of the regular fellows. It's really awesome. I mean, it's just
What was interesting, we had meant my friends from the Bluffton Tea Party were talking about what is known as the I-95 corridor. And I-95 runs up through the state. You know, I-95 goes from Maine all the way down to Florida. But there's a corridor in there. And when Obama was running for president, they pointed out this one area known as the Corridor of Shame, where the schools were so poor, they were literally falling apart. And they were in minority neighborhoods. And they pointed out this Corridor of Shame. So the Department of Education did all this voodoo and everything else. And they made a movie about it and so forth. And ever since it's been cleaned up, the Department of Education has been leaning so hard on the rest of South Carolina because this I-95 corridor that had gone into disrepair that they're actually trying to take over everything in the school. Now, Newt Gingrich was completely unaware of that, so he's listening to the conversation. He's asking them fantastic questions. And he's turning around to our representative, asking him what his stance was on it and so on and so forth. And there was an actual dialogue where he became interested in a local issue that actually had national implications. You never know what was going to come up in the conversation.
Well, of course, when you're talking about that kind of setting, that isn't one of the media settings where words like improper or politically incorrect come up. Because in those type of environmental settings, when you have the older guys at the barber shop or inside the diner, that type, that's no place for somebody who believes in modern day ERA and political correctness to be, because they'd probably crap their pants a thousand times over listening to some of the conversations that take place. But I mean, it is also where I think an awful lot more of things get accomplished. I think if you picture this round table that's huge, where the heads of states can't even see each other, you don't really get much accomplished but politics. Whereas when you're sitting at a table and you said, like he's digging into his barbecue and slaw, and they say, hey, can you slide over? You get an awful lot. You get an awful lot more accomplished when you can look at the person in the eye and speak to them man-to-man, woman-to-woman, or however it is, father-to-son and mother-to-daughter, you'll get a lot more accomplished. And that's one thing I really liked about the interview, is that not everybody was, wow, it's nude or whatever. They're doing their own thing.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
I thought I'll have to listen to it again. Where it said, no, I had that the last time. there's something to be said about just people like us, because in many ways we're not in awe of anything. We just love this country and we love our livelihood, and we continue on in that path hoping to do better things and hopefully getting some of our rights back, if not all of them. Tesla had mentioned that Newt's for strengthening the Patriot Act. I wish we could have asked him a question on that, but obviously with 10 minutes, at the short interview. But, you know, take 10 minutes over no minutes, that's for sure.
Yeah, because I still had a couple of more questions, and I did cut it real short, just with that short last question with the fair tax or flat tax. And, you know, he is, he does want to abolish a lot of these overbearing federal agencies. I mean, the Federal Reserve, he's fuming at them. So that,
yeah, as a matter of fact, didn't he say he'd have Bernanke arrested and fired or something like that?
He said the first thing I would do is fire Bernanke, the very first thing.
Yeah.
You know, he would have a huge investigation without saying anything. That is, implication is, yes, he'd love to see the guy in handcuffs. But, yes, he wants it completely thrown open. He wants it completely audited. He wants a full investigation. And the amount of money that lent out just prior to the stimulus, to the very same banks that took the stimulus, that's the whole scandal right there.
Yeah, it certainly is. When it comes to the financial structure, you have to really be – I don't know that there's anyone better than Newt. I mean, in many, many ways, Newt could basically be the foundation of that. As the Clinton administration moved on and made an awful lot of changes, you know, Newt was right there. So it would be very hard to find someone who knows the financial and banking system of America, the backbone and the heartbeat, better than somebody like Speaker Gingrich.
Well, I'm sure some of his town hall answers are going to pop up either on CNN or some of the other stations. CNN was there, and they were filming a lot of this. Some of the stuff, he went brutally after Obama. I'm telling you, really brutally after him.
Well, good. Why not?
I, what was it? At one point, I think he may have called him an idiot. That's going to show up somewhere on YouTube. I'm telling you that right now.
Well, you know, America is in big trouble, and what's wrong with calling him an idiot? That is this is a republic. This is not a country to where, as if we ask somebody, if we criticize a president, where it's wrong to do. That is what this country is founded on. Barack Obama is the president of the United States. He is not king of kings.
No, he's not. You're listening to Southern Sense here on Blog Talk Radio. I'm your host, Ann Ubellis. We got Cool Mike. The phone line is open, so please pick up the phone and give us a call and give us your take. It was an exciting afternoon, I got to tell you that.